Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Michael Paperno, Brenda St. Louis, and Cameron Field. I would like to talk about how do you solve a problem when someone won't have an honest conversation about it. Brenda, kick us off.
Well, I often start out with talking about how it makes me feel. You know, when you say that, it makes me feel a little confused. And I wonder if we could talk a little more in depth about it.
Yeah, it's a hard thing because you're talking a little bit about solving a problem with someone who won't cooperate. But then is there gaslighting going on at the same time? So, and how do you deal with both of those? Well, you know, one of the things is can you really fix it? Is it something you're better off backing away from and actually only taking responsibility for the piece that you can fix and let the chips fall where they may if you're really not going to get cooperation from that other person? So I think you have to figure out that balance and make that right decision in the moment. But I will say is just really try hard to not make that person's insecurity your problem.
So, and these are great. And I was thinking about this and really, I almost would not even want to approach that person for fear of giving them any semblance of importance or credibility as far as my life goes. You know, if they're gaslighting and they're talking to other people, you know, the people that truly know me would know that whatever they're passing on as being credible information would know that, in fact, that's not the case. I'd be more worried about the people that I do care about and trust and respect and rely on, where I almost wouldn't want to even have that conversation or face them, just because, it, you know, in the end, does it really matter to me what they say or do? And this is a scenario that I think has happened to everybody. And it's really bothersome to begin with, but I don't know if I would probably control how angry I am or annoyed, if that would get any better if I actually talk to them when they're just in some alternate reality saying nothing's wrong and I think you're fine. That would probably bother me even more.
One thing I would like to add, if I could, to that is that it depends on where you are. Like if you are working together closely and you need to solve some problems and you want to have movement forward, harmony, I mean, it could be an HR issue. You bring it to the HR person if the person doesn't feel like they can receive what you're saying. But when you're opening a conversation that someone is denying that they've said anything or there's any problem and they're not taking any responsibility, there's a craft and an art to approach someone so that they don't have their backup. And that's a talent to do. Not everyone has it, you know? And so like you were saying, Cameron, like sometimes you just don't want to have the conflict, you know, or Michael, when you were saying like, maybe it's not even worth talking about, but when it is something that you need to address because you can't move forward, then there's some kind of communication styles that everyone has, and it's really understanding what can they receive. So whenever I open my mouth to someone that might be combative or avoidant, I will initially just tap in and not think about it in a cerebral way, but just say, what can they receive? And generally what comes out of my mouth is exactly what they can receive. And it might be something like, you know, it may not be your intention to do that, but it makes me feel like this when you say that.
Yeah, I agree, Brenda. And the other side of that is when you're in those situations where you can avoid and you have to tackle it together, especially when you're working on the same team, is to make sure that you, as the person communicating back to that person, do so in a calm and respectful way. Don't get into that fight because that's only going to fuel it. So instead, take that deep breath, remain calm, and not only talk about your how it makes you feel, which I think is spot on, but then also just stick to the facts. It's okay to say, well, you know, that is what actually happened. And, you know, we need to work through it or whatever that, wherever the conversation goes. But if you know that, if you stick to those facts and you remain calm, you can at least maintain some sense of control in that conversation and hopefully steer it in a calm and gentle way into a direction where you're going to actually get out of this conflict and get to some kind of resolution.
You know, thinking about Brenda bringing up the scenario of maybe a fairly a small office where, you know, you're going to have this continual contact with this person, you know, and constructing those dialogues as you describe them. And, you know, Michael, you're adding some curbs to that discussion where, you know, it's going to be a civilized discussion, you know, as I like to call it, an HR proof discussion and what have you. And I think those are really good strategies. And in some cases, we might not have a choice but to have that conversation and contact with that person. But even having the mindset, you know, at the end of the day, there might actually be, if everything goes well, an opportunity here to create some kind of a much better work environment. And, you know, if it's going to affect job performance, like just somehow try and leverage whatever has happened into something actually that turns out quite good. Like there's always that possibility where when people see our true selves, you know, there might be opportunities there, you know, to that they grow as a person, that you grow as a person. And, you know, I'm in the private sector now that there's some kind of business benefit to this where you start to collaborate more and improve team performance.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an aspect too of don't wait. Don't let it grow into something where, you know, there's a whole team dynamic where everybody's involved and everybody has an opinion and it becomes this big, huge thing, because the bigger it gets, the harder it is going to be to manage it.
Yeah.
And Robin, I love that you said that, because I think what happens, especially in an office atmosphere, is you'll talk to your coworker that's not involved to see mm-hmm. what they think, and then it just becomes really messy. Mm-hmm. And just being in the conversation where it's just between the two of you, that person doesn't feel like they're going to be stabbed in the back, that they're going to be undermined in any way.
Yeah. One thing I try to teach when I teach conflict resolution is do not triangulate, do not engage in gossip, do not allow it, because gossip requires two people, one person to do the talking and the other person to listen. And if you create a rule that on this team, we don't gossip, you know, that I always suggest go and say, if you need help having this conversation with the other person, let's find someone to facilitate that, but don't have it with just me.
Yeah.
And that requires a level of maturity on the person on one end, you know, mm-hmm. and we might screw up and we can't kind of stick ourselves in the back because we made a mistake either.
Right. There has to be grace. And that's, I think, as humans, we're not as good at giving grace as we could be.
And one of the side things of this whole process, regardless of how it's handled and what strategies we use, it is emotionally exhausting when, you know, someone is gaslighting you. And, you know, I think we're all very hardworking people and we run anywhere from 8 to 12 hours a day or what have you. And it's exhausting all on its own. And then you have this. So you'd really want to get it right the first time, because the sooner it is not an issue in our professional lives and personal lives, I think the better off it's going to be. But it's exhausting.
It's a tough situation to be in when you're basically being manipulated. And you know, that's not fair for anyone. And that creates toxic cultures. And I've told folks who have told me that they've been being gaslit is that, you know, document it. Even if you're not going to have the conversation with HR or the person because it's not mm-hmm. safe to do so, or document it for yourself so you know you have that history and you can lean on that when you do start to feel like, wait, is it really me? You'll have that documentation to say, no, it's not me. I'm not going to let them get into my head like that.
Yeah. And having an outside person to talk to, someone who's not on the team, because this came up as a topic because I have a client who's in this situation. So she's talking to me and we're trying to kind of sort like, okay, so what do we do? And as an outside source and an unbiased person, sometimes I can point out to her, I think you're making stuff up there. I don't think that's actually, you know, what's happening. I think, yes, you have a problem, but I don't think that particular issue is part of it.
And I think this topic is even more important now that we're in a lot of us are in hybrid environments, because if you're experiencing that kind of culture and you're working from your home office and all you have to talk to about it is, you know, your partner or your cat, you know, you can really fester and spiral down. So we all have mm-hmm. to be careful about that.
Yeah. And what actually happened is sometimes forgotten when it's kind of mixed up with your own emotions. So you could be certain someone said something when they may not have said that. They could have said something similar, but you've interpreted it very differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so true.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having this conversation with me. That is our 10 minutes. So I'm going to cut us off there. I appreciate it so much. And I look forward to the next time we get to talk.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.